Glad you're with us today. Glad you're with us this morning. I will tell you, I'm not trying to avoid everybody again. I am quarantined in my own house. Actually, partially quarantined in my own house. And Jane said it would be good if you didn't be around anybody or anything of that kind today. I think all that it is just a head cold that I have just about every year. It just takes a while to get away. I'm about to go and have my third COVID test for this month. And just to make sure that everything is fine. But I will not. I will be antisocial this morning and this evening. And just to let you know that that is the reason why. Everything we're going to be looking at this morning is going to be on the screen. There are thoughts that I'm going to put up that I want you to expand on, and I want you to think about even more than what I have listed, because it's going to be a very brief listing. But then I want you to pay attention to each and every scripture that we're going to read and think about them from the standpoint of this eternal gift, part of which has already been talked about for us and explained to us, but we're going to look at it in a little different way. In Helena, there is a church that has a sign. It's actually on one of the main roads going into town, and not really at their building, but it's a sign that they put up. And the sign that they have out right now says, God's greatest gift came as a baby. That has truth in it, but it's not the whole truth. It doesn't explain everything, but it does explain a great deal. The greatest and most significant event in all of history, in all of creation, for all humanity and for all creation is Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, it is Jesus Christ. And what we have to keep in mind is that Jesus Christ is God become flesh. The baby became human, flesh. But that baby was God's eternal Son. He was, as the Bible will say, in the beginning. He was the Word that was in the beginning. He was the Word that was with God. He is the Word that was God. And that Word became flesh when he became a baby and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lamb in the book of Revelation is Jesus returning to heaven, returning to heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection. And the Lamb, in returning to heaven, in chapter 5, receives the very same praise, honor, and glory as the Father sitting on the throne received in chapter 4. The Father and the Son received the same honor, glory, and praise by all of those that are in heaven. Three things I want us to think about. They are the past, the present, and the future, every one of which are impacted by Jesus Christ. Every one of which have as their focus Jesus Christ. And they deal with the past, the present, and the future. First of all, the past. Before we were ever born, before your parents were ever born, before your grandparents were ever born, before we ever knew there was a new world that would eventually become the United States of America, before we ever knew there was an old world, from the very beginning of this world, things happened that we need to know about. We need to know about what happened before we got here. We need to know some things that occurred before we were ever born, long before any of us ever came into existence. We need to know what John reminds us of in John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made through him, that him is the Word, that him is Jesus Christ. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made was made. There is nothing created that was not created by the Word, by Jesus. God spoke, and it came into existence. We need to know that. Colossians, Paul will write, and he will say this. He, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Some people read that verse and they don't continue to read. And some people read that verse and they fail to remember what John said in John chapter 1. And some people will read this verse and they will say, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And they say, that must mean he was the first thing born. No, that's not what it means. He is the one above all things. He is the one superior to all things. And if you read the rest of the verse, you see it. Because Paul continues to say, he is the firstborn of all creation because, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All created beings in heaven were created by him? Yes. All created beings and all of the creation were created by him? Yes. And it goes on. The things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The most significant event in all creation is Jesus Christ. We can say it another way, the most significant event in all creation is God. And Jesus is God come in the flesh. Everything that came into being because of him. So with regard to our past, our entire world, all of humanity was made by Jesus, made by God. And when he made us, he made us male and female. And he made us male and female as human beings. And he gave us a command. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. And what God's intention was is outlined for us in the book of Genesis. It's for the man and the woman to have a child, forming a family. And that family was to be together with the child being raised by mother and father. So that humanity would grow and flourish and multiply. That cannot be changed. Just as the rotation of the earth that God set in order cannot be changed. Just as everything that God has created and set in order cannot be changed. What God set in place cannot be changed. The only way for a child to be born is for a male and female, husband and wife, according to God's wishes, husband and wife, to come together and have a child. So all of humanity, all of creation, everything that we have around us. And know the amazing thing about God's world? Is that it, in a sense, replenishes itself. God designed it to be that way. I know we live in a world that's very polluted. I know we live in a world that we as human beings have made a mess out of. And we as human beings need to get busy and do our part to help try to keep it clean. But do you know what God already sets in place? I got a knife for Christmas, and being not very intelligent during my mode of sickness, some will say, you're always that way. Don't blame it on your sickness. I was cutting a little piece of plastic with my new knife, and I cut my thumb. And just a little nick, but it started bleeding, and I had a hard time getting it to stop bleeding, and I put some stuff on it, and that went away. But now I have a little scar that'll go away. It will eventually heal, and I won't be doing a thing to it. I won't have to do anything else to that thumb because it's going to heal itself. It's already closed up the wound. It's already in the process of bringing the skin back together. It's already in the process of doing whatever needs to be done in order for me to correct the wound that I created in my thumb. But the whole world is that way. Do you know, as polluted as our world is and the world in which we live, there are places you can still go and dip a cup into a lake and drink the water. I can take you to those places. I have friends who go to those places every year. There are springs that still bubble out of the ground where you can go and take a cup and hold your cup under that spring as that water comes out of the side of the mountain and drink it. There are wells that you can go to, drop the bucket down into the well and pull the water up, dip your cup into that bucket and drink the water, because the water is that clean and the water is that pure. And that kind of water is still with us. That air, blue sky, all the things that God has created in this world that heals itself and cleans itself, if we will help and do our part, the part that we're responsible for. But in our past is a book. It was called the Writings because they were written by prophets, people to whom God actually spoke. And this book came into existence long before us. The Old Testament came into existence 400 years before Jesus was born in the flesh. And the rest of it, the New Testament, was written shortly after his death. But all of this book was written long before you and I were ever born. But it's a book we need to know about. It's a book we need to read. It's a book that we need to understand. It's a book that we need to pay attention to. The one who rejects me, Jesus said, and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Not judged by the thoughts that I have while I'm living. Not judged by the thoughts that I have that I think God will be happy with while I'm alive. But judged by what he actually said, which was spoken long before you and I were ever born. We have a responsibility to know the past. We have a responsibility to take hold of the things that happened before we ever got here and to believe them and to trust them and to hold to them. And he's the most important thing to the present. The present. This is our time. This is my time and your time. This is when we are alive. This is when we're not looking at the past, we're looking at right now, at who we are in this time and where we are now living. This is our time for decision and our time for choice. And the only proper way to make a decision and a choice in our time is to make sure we realize what the past has said. To make sure we realize what the past is all about and how it applies to us. The book of Hebrews writes, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Jesus is coming again. And when he's coming again, it will not be to deal with sin because he's already dealt with it. It will not be to do what is necessary in order for man to be forgiven, because that's already been done. That's part of that past. Instead, when Jesus comes again, he's coming to save those who have looked at the past and believed it. Who have looked at the past and trusted it. Who have looked at the past and therefore are eagerly awaiting the promise he made in the past of his coming back. And so when he comes again, it will be to save those who listened to the past, who trusted it, and who were eagerly waiting for him. And Jesus came and said to them, this is what he said to his apostles, the message that he wanted them to deliver to the whole world. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples, followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Here we have the past, giving us in brief outline what is required of us in the present. To be one of those that is eagerly waiting for him. To recognize that all authority belongs to Jesus. That we are to become his followers. And to indicate our desire and commitment to be his followers. We are baptized into him in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. And we rise to walk in a new life. Listening to and following the instructions of Jesus. That's our choice. That's our present. That's what we are to be doing now. Then we have our future. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Paul, living in his present, describes us in the same way as being in our present. Because we belong to Jesus, we are now citizens of heaven. We are now a part of the kingdom of God. And our citizenship and our home is in heaven. And we wait. We wait for the future when Jesus will come again and transform this physical body into a glorious body like his. Into a glorious body like his, so that we will belong to him and be with him forever. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. They don't know the past. They don't know what he said. They don't know what he did, or they don't care. And the reason they don't know us is because they don't know the past, and they don't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. It's been promised, but it's not here yet. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our past, which tells us how to be today, which we strive to be today because of the hope that's coming. The most significant event that has ever occurred and will ever occur in all of creation is Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he said, what he did, and what he promised. So the most significant question for any human being to consider is, am I a child of God? Am I listening to Jesus? Have I been baptized into Him? Am I following Him? Because in the final analysis, when that new day comes, it'll be the only thing that matters. There may be some who need to come home to Christ, who are ready to be baptized into Christ. If you'd like to have a prayer with one of our elders, they'll be happy to meet with you at the conference room. But if you desire to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning, we're going to offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.